Okay, as a special treat, as a special opportunity to learn before I leave, before I take part of you, Mirsa Hashem Yisbarach. And unfortunately, I won't be here for Purim, Purim Mishulash. Can you imagine the geshmak of Purim Mishulash? It's an opportunity that I look forward to year after year. And unfortunately, I'll be in Lakewood, New Jersey instead. What can you do? Yeah, Purim. And it's been almost 20 years since the last time I was in America for Purim.
Are you going to be back before then tomorrow?
I will be back by Rosh Chodesh year. Okay, here we go. So Purim, right? Purim. Page 423 in the Peleoids. Purim him yamim toivim niskar manasim. They are wonderful, amazing days that are, of course, we mark as special days in the calendar. You may mishtav a simcha, simcha shal mitzvah, and a day of opportunity, of a day of rejoicement in God's mitzvahs. Ki hein herena Hashem chiba yaser. Upon that day, God showed us tremendous love. Because nonetheless, although the fact that we as a nation attended the Suda of Achashverosh and Hashem was ultimately angry at us. And by the way, it wasn't even the issue that we attended the Suda. It was the desire to be enmeshed and to be ingratiate ourselves with the powers of that time. And yes, ultimately, the food was kosher or was treif?
No,
the food was kosher, mahadrin and mahadrin. Was thank you. Yes, was the wine mavushal?
Yes.
Yes, it was. But it was the tzura.
16-year-old
Bochum, so. Yeah, right. It was a puska, right? It was drink out of puskas. What was the puska? Actually, not clean from the base of Mikdash. It was a big cup, huge cup, and the minig was that you had to like down the entire thing in one gulp. I mean, it was excess. It was excess. Anybody never heard of the tape, of a Greenwald's tape? You know, the puska. What's a puska? Nobody knows this tape? Oh, you know, of course you do. You didn't grow up Jewish if you didn't. All right, the point is, and if you didn't hear it until now, here, listen to it now. It was excess. It was about a desire to be like everybody else. Right? They have, I think Rav Pesach Krohn one time spoke about the idea of something called the groaning table at a wedding. You know what a groaning table is? A groaning table. No. Well, not groaning, yeah. The groaning is because there's so much food on the table is groaning from the weight. Excess. This desire for excess, for constant more and more and more and more. This is literally the Indian of what Purim's about. So it's funny, like then we go the opposite on Purim, then we do that with the excess is in the sense that we do it with a tam shel mitzvah. Because oftentimes, it's almost like you could have these magazines, you know, these famous Jewish magazines of which maybe my wife may or may not write for. They have shtiyot, 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 the entire article, shtiyot, 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 half of them kfira, half of them, you know, shekhev v'chazav. And then at the end, it'll be like, but we all know God really runs the world. Like, why? Because they put the hechsher at the bottom. They write shtiyot, 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 half hefker, half kfira, half apikarsis. And then at the end, they put the stempel, they put the little stamp that makes it machsher the entire thing. But we all really know God runs the world, right? So too also, you can have a suda which is purely for your boich, for yourself, for all anything but mitzvah. But it's mahajin. But it's kosher v'yosher. It's mamish chalak beit yosef. Remember we spoke chalal beit yosef, right? No, chalak beit yosef. It's everything, Lagan. But it's missing the nekuda. It's missing the nekuda that it's the simcha shel mitzvah. We, as Jews, and this may not be fun, it may be cool, and maybe people may have a hard time with this, and unfortunately, Nassim Meir is not here to yell back at me, but the idea is that Jews, we view life through the prism of Torah mitzvahs. I mean, there's nothing outside of that. I know it can seem a little bit boring. Like, what do you mean? So I can't like do something that's not related to mitzvah? I have to do it. He's not here, so I have to do it for him. What do you mean? Are you basically saying that there's no life outside of, you know, da da da? You can't just chill for 2-5 minutes? Like, I don't think he's saying that, but you hear the nevar, right? You can hear the voice anyway. The idea is that means that yes, there's nothing that exists out of it. Does it mean that a person can't relax? Of course a person can relax. There is ultimately with that idea that it's for the relaxation, the shame that you can then come back re-energized towards Torah Mitzvahs again. But the idea of something being an end unto itself, an endeavor unto itself, that's not a Jewish thing. That's not a Jewish concept. That is purely a non-Jewish idea. We live in a world where things are through the prism of Torah Mitzvahs. We live in the realm of that God exists. We live in that framework, and everything is through that framework.
If you do something not the shame, you eat not the shame shemayim, zero, is it a problem?
According to Chassidus, specifically the Baal Tanya, it is terrible. Yes.
But what about
eating, for example, he says specifically the idea of eating shaloi the shame mitzvah. What does it do? And for God, he says, there's an opportunity a person can maybe do tshuva from that and maybe turn that into a good energy. but it's certainly either neutral or bad, because you're feeding the nefesh of Bahamas. You're feeding the lower part of yourself.
So when you say it, people that are overweight, you see bigger bodies, tummy's
sticking out. You know what?
According to that Peshat, we're all supposed to be skinny and only
eat. I want to tell you something amazing. You know, as someone... I want to tell you something. I can't relate to such a problem. I don't know. And therefore, I can't speak towards it. But no, listen. You're right to a degree. But chas v'shalom, number one, by the way, we don't know because someone's overweight because they overeat. Oftentimes, overeat, maybe there's a pituitary gland issue. Maybe there's just simply genetic issues. A lot of people that unfortunately are overweight, they can't have any control over it. Right? So I tell myself. But more, for example, you know who's actually historically was like that? Was known historically as being overweight? The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was famously overweight. And they explained, and his Talmidim said, my Rebbe, I never saw my Rebbe eat more, and they were around him for hours. It wasn't like he was sneaking, you know, peppermint patties underneath the table, Chas v'shalom, right? He was mamish, even the Hasidim called him a Chassid, the Chassid Amiti. They said the Chassid mi Vilna, because he was somebody who lived on a higher plane than we could possibly imagine. And he was overweight. Why? They explain because Shmuas Toivis Yivasru, when good news, as I think it says in Mishlei, it makes the bones larger, right? We need to say that he was big, but he wasn't necessarily. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you think Rav Chaim was sitting there eating, you know, smacking back pizzas and sliders all day? No. No, he was not. The answer is no, he was not. But he was larger. Why? Probably. I mean, listen. There could be I don't want to get too in trouble for this, but it could be biologically the fact that people who live a more sedentary lifestyle of sitting down rather than moving around, you're more likely going to add on weight. But it's not unhealthy. He lived in how long? How old was he when he was nifter? 93 years old? He was 93 years old, okay? He was Gantz. He lived out longer, much longer than the guy from Atkins diet. You know the famous Atkins diet guy who had a heart attack because he ate too much meat? His whole diet was eating meat. The Atkins diet, Dr. Atkins, he made this like this diet that was very popular in the early, like late 90s, early 2000s, when I was growing up. And he famously died at the age of like 63, 65 years old because he had like some massive pulmonary embolism or heart attack, whatever it is. You know, there's a famous woman who was like very into the idea of running and jogging. She had a massive heart attack jogging. Well, actually jogging, she just collapsed and died.
Yeah, but you know how much weight I lost on his diet?
Oh, Lord, what is this? I'm not saying you can't lose weight on it. I'm saying is that you see there's a Seat HaShemaya towards Arichas Yamim. When the Gemara says, the very famous Gemara is Maseches Tainis, that each Rav lived for a period of time. Why? They said, well, you have to know, because I ate peanuts. You know, like, because they go to like, you know, Ghana, you know, and they meet this random woman who's lived to the age of 109, and they ask her, Nu, how did you live so long? Well, because she smokes five packs of cigarettes? What is it that, what do they do? You speak to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he lived for 90 till 93, and it's not like he didn't have health issues, right? I famously have mentioned before that my uncle actually provided for him his CPAP machine. You know what a CPAP machine was? It was the machine that helps you breathe, because at night he actually would have, he would snore, right? Oh, cool, right. Thank you. Your mom was like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right?
I was snoring my head off.
By the way, why am I mentioning Rav Chaim? Because his yard site, it's been 4 years or 3 years. It's on Shabbos, right? It was on Shushan Purim. Very, very extreme. Okay, let's get back to Purim, though. Purim, yeah, Shushan Purim. The point, yeah. Okay, listen. The point is like this. At that point, because we had gone to the Suda, because we were not in that world, in that realm of viewing the prism of doing it through Torah mitzvahs. And again, that is the shtel, that is the entire conception of Purim is about, is being involved in Hana and being involved in bodily endeavors, but for the right reasons. But you have to go into it with that proper attitude. If you're going into it, because I'm, oh, bro, I heard... When I was a Bachar Yeshiva, people said, oh, Purim HaShulash, 3 days, you can just be blasted for three straight days. Shabbos, right? Motzei Shabbos.
Sunday
morning. Friday. Sunday night.
Friday.
Even Monday it lasts until, right? That's a problem. That's called a drinking problem. That's not called Purim. That's called someone's an alcoholic.
Oh. You can't get together with the Goyim to celebrate their holiday.
No, you cannot be. Be may Edeim. 100%.
That doesn't mean necessarily that in some situations you must not go. But you must not partake in their food in this.
Correct. Exactly. So what we do on Purim is we try to be masakin it, that they went for the wrong reasons. We go for the good reasons. We do it through the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. But Hashem nonetheless still had Rachmanas upon us. That once Vashti was ultimately executed, that began the entire process of the Gula. Because through the drinking of the wine, actually, in a sense, was built into that structure, the Etzem Gula itself.
But that execution happened on that suit, on that... festival.
So as much as the Suda was the reason why Klal Yisrael was held accountable, at the same Suda, Hashem was still Makdir Refula Makkah.
Right.
I mean, although we then later got the Gezerah that Hashem that Haman wanted to kill us, but already the wheels of the redemption were already beginning. We're already turning. And that point, when Vashti was executed, that's when things started to really develop for us. And because of this, Baruch Hashem, we have these days of happiness and rejoicement. We have the mitzvahs of Mikra Gila, Mishta, Simcha, Mishachmanes, Ishra Eyo, Matas of Yoinim, Vehe Mrs. Chavivus Habais Mizman Lazman, Vesoidim Ram Venisa. Royal is Arbaim, Beyois Elasis, Kisikunim Dahainu. Mikra Megillah, of course, very important to hear the Mikra Megillah, Ois Beois. There's a very common misconception by a lot of people who are unfortunately, who may not know the halacha, that if you miss even one letter, if you even miss one letter of the word, you mamish are not Yoy to the mitzvah of Kriya. So first of all, if you're reading it in the Megillah, read that word. As long as you don't read the roiv of the entire Megillah from the Sefer itself, it's not a problem. You're going to be yotze. What?
This year you're not supposed to do that.
This year you're not supposed to do that. It's a big discussion because since it's Shalei Bizmano, it's an interesting discussion, but it's like very chumradik. At the end of the day, read it, make sure you're following word for word for word. Nonetheless, someone who doesn't necessarily know, Yevakish Baratze Chesef Misha Yomar Itoy Vinal Ila Itoy Kiyasum Chematzma Latzis Ladish Mia Korav Levadash Ein Yotzim Demin. Don't just do it yourself. He's saying if somebody wants to like read it to themselves by themselves, instead no, pay somebody to actually do the kriya itself. Somebody who's an expert knows how to do it. Right, it's almost impossible that you not to be able to lose. It's very challenging. If he's already done the mitzvah, meaning if he's already done it, he's saying like a halachic Indian that can he himself make the bracha again? It's a big discussion. He shouldn't. Someone else should make the bracha. What? Of course. Why? To come together as one. We come all as one. Beroiv am hajas melech. We come together as one group, as the Gemara tells us that we should be together as one. It's always better to go to the bigger shul than to do a private minyan. A lot of private minyan because they don't like this shtick, they don't like that guy. They can't stand this person. This guy does his thing every single year. He brings the cap gun and he does it by, even though the minyan says to do it only by the first and last haman to clap. He decides no. We mechitesi. This is a mitzvah to be moichik, right? And boom, 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 boom. He makes the megillah like 45 hours. Yeah, everybody hates it. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's better because you have to be aware. Obviously, if it's going to cause you not to be a tzir mitzvah, then maybe it is worthwhile to do private minyanim. In the Mir Yeshiva, famously, right, the famous Mir Yeshiva minyan, oh, it's geschmack, but it can get a little too crazy. I remember when I was a bacher there, it was, oh, we had some good stuff. We had some good stuff. At one point, because chever, we used to go to the shtibel, to the Beis Yisrael shtibel, and then come back to be part of the minyan. So they already heard the Megillah, and they would go, right, all these like funny sounds, like, you know, goat sounds. At the end, by the last Haman, the entire minion broke out. Na 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 na, na 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 na. We're talking about like 500,000 people singing, hey, goodbye to Haman. Why? It was funny. But at the end of the day, I wanted to be yotze. So the next year, I went to a smaller minion. Okay, even though bad sermon was geschmack, but I want to be yotze the mitzvah. Okay.
Mitzvahs. Why would that affect the minion?
Because sometimes you have always one Oyber Chacham, a guy who like, it's just annoying, who does a little too much longer than everybody else. He needs to stand out. It can get annoying. So,
yeah, but annoying doesn't mean you're not Yoitze.
It doesn't mean you're not Yoitze, but I don't want to be annoyed during my Kriya. I'd rather be happy. Okay, the whole point is mitzvahs simcha. Mitzvahs mishtev simcha royally zerba lasses ikra sudu b'boid yom. You have to do very careful to make sure that we have the suda properly at an earlier time. Now, by the way, this is generally my minik, is I start the suda already by 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, 100%. First, very important. Why? What? Oh, it's a whole shayla before. Yeah, for sure before mincha. The mitzvah is mitzvah hayoyim. It's not like a suda shlishis that you have to makbid to do after mincha. I'll tell you like this. It's lafuke from what a lot of people do. Is they'll start the suda at what time? Let's say shkia is at like 5:45, 5:50. They have it at 4 o'clock or 4:15 because the wives needed their time to prepare the garnishes. It gets very important, very chashuv, da da da. But like, I always tell my wife, I said, I don't understand. You're doing it for the men. The men don't know what's going on. They only pay attention to the food for the first 6 minutes of the suda. Once the alcohol kicks in, they have no idea what's in front of them. They don't know what's flying. And all the pretty garnishes that you created, it's beautiful, it's nice. But it was nice for six minutes. It's not worth it. Put out. Some chalent, some kugel, whatever it is. What? Steak. I don't know, corned beef. Usually corned beef I get. Corned beef, you know, sesame chicken, things of that nature. But you know, that's because why? At the end of the day, the Iker mitzvah is the mitzvah shtia. The mitzvah simcha. It's not corned beef. Although the vada ain't simcha el basar v'yayin. But the Iker, that's in Yom Tif, not dafka, lav dafka on Purim. Purim is the shtias yayin. Interesting, just as a general aside, in terms of drinking schnapps versus drinking wine, right? So first of all, are you allowed to drink schnapps, or you can only have to daf to drink wine? It's a big shayla in the poiskim, but there are klal or makpid that we should only drink wine. Okay, although there are, the Aruch HaShulchan actually says lahedya that the drink schnapps is aser because it leads to shikras deloit. Oh, so let's explain what that means. We know the story by Lot, right? That he ran away. The story got destroyed. His daughters basically got him very super duper drunk, and then because they thought they were the last people left on the earth, that's where Amram and Moav came from. Okay. He was so shaker that he didn't even realize that his own daughters were there with him. Now, it's an interesting thing because if you're drinking it to such an extent, you become shaker's delight. You think, first of all, you think that the mitzvah of Ad L'Yada means you can give mamish all the way, ad asoif. The answer is no. Ad L'Yada has an ad, has an until, up until that point. After that point, if you're so slovenly drunk, forget even oim l'fnei ha-melech, that you literally are, like we said before, that it didn't be mazik or things of that nature. You know, it's very bad. It's not good. It's called shikras delight, that you're so removed from what you are, who you are, that you literally would even forget. They call it blackout drunk. That's usher. That's mamash usher.
So if you don't remember Purim, it's a problem?
What?
If you don't remember Purim, it's a problem.
Listen.
What if you're too drunk?
So everybody has their threshold. But if you're getting so drunk, I wouldn't call that the threshold, is that if you don't remember. It's that you get so drunk that you don't remember, and then unfortunately you may do things which are incredibly embarrassing. You know, that's kind of where the issue lands. You know, I'll leave off this one last joke.
But wait.
You're gonna miss a joke. Yeah, okay, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he says, since it's very heavy, let me explain. Since he says it's very heavy, it can cause a person. However, though, there is a way of drinking schnapps in a light way. And this is the point I was trying to say. I've many poskim say it's allowed, although lechatchila should be done through wine. But I despise wine with an absolute passion. I hate red wine, but I can drink it when I'm drunk. What do I do? So I get a shtickle drunk, like a shtickle already from schnapps, because I love schnapps. I'm a big fan of it. Baruch Hashem, I'm a man of culture. Right, so you get a schnapps, and then schnapps is like whiskey, you know, yeah. If you're American, it's bourbon.
Tequila.
Right, and no. Okay, I don't work at a construction site. The point is that, no, I'm joking. I love you tremendously. I'm joking. The point is, you drink that. I drink that little amount. You get yourself a little bit, you know, whatever. And then the rest of the Purim is strictly wine. But which type of wine? Bartonura wine. I'm lightweight. I can't handle it. Okay. The point is...
The
joke is...
But the Lachatchila is red wine, no?
Lachatchila is red wine, yes. Lachatchila is definitely red wine. I just... But at the end of the day, I can't handle it. I can't... No, I'm a
Vushal. What if you get too drunk?
It's Shabbos and Kiddush, what?
You pass out, you don't die, and that's usually what happens.
To the best of your abilities, you should. The best of your abilities. Remember to drink water. Drinking water is very important. Okay, part of the mitzvah hayoyim is to make as many ashiyot as possible. Drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of shams.
Has to be water with alcohol.
Water, because you can't be that drunk. You know, Kiyadua, famously, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Purim is not to drink until you're literally like a hobo on the street, but it's to the extent that you fall asleep. Right? You fall asleep a little bit, you write more than usual, you fall asleep and done. The Ramah adds in or lashon of that when you go to sleep, through the fact that you're asleep and you're unaware, then you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Okay? You have to know that that's in a sense what is the Iker Halacha. So Salanter famously and a lot of different Pshatim say that no, it's a mitzvah to drink and to continue drinking. If you feel low, to drink even more. Okay, you know, everyone somehow became super duper machmir when it comes to Purim, but Lav Dafka when it comes to like Mitzvah Meiser, like what do you mean? Somebody asked the Rabbi Hollander recently, how much you have to give? An agura. Oh, okay, good, Baruch Hashem. So like they're always worried about here, somehow it became like the big chumrah to do the highest amount.
What's the joke?
Okay, so I'll tell you the joke, and I'll leave off with this one line. The one line is like this. Moshe Eisenman, he was the Talmud of Rav Aaron Kotler, and he was a Bachar in Yeshiva. So he asked a question to Rav Aaron once, and he responded back saying, "You sound like a shikra a Turk." He said he was very, he didn't like the question he was asking. He says, "You sound like a shikra a Turk." He said in Yiddish. What's a shikra a Turk? What does it mean, a shikra a Turk? It means a drunk Turk. Well, the Turk is from Turkey, right? He says, what does that mean? He says like this, a shikra a Turk. Rav Aaron said to one of his Talmidim, "You sound like a shikra a Turk." See, Rav Aaron explained, he says, a shikr, someone who's drunk, right? He's talking and he's saying things which are embarrassing. Now, we understand what he's saying, but he doesn't understand what he's saying. He's so disconnected. He's a shikr, a Turk. What's a Turk? A Turk speaks a different language. He's speaking Turkish, right? See, he understands what he's saying, but we don't understand what he's saying. But for you, you're worse. You're a shikr, a Turk. You don't understand what you're saying, and I don't understand what you're saying. Anyways. You don't want to become a shikr that to such an extent that you don't know what you're saying and you could be severely embarrassing yourself. I've seen many crazy stories. I was Bachar Yeshiva. Bachar came to the Rebbetzin that we were at the house for the Suda and just crying about every single aver he's done in his possible life. And I feel so bad for just sitting there being like, oh, interesting, okay. And like, get me out of this situation as much as possible. You know, you don't want to be one of those weirdos. You want to, and avada, and this is very one last akuda. Perm Sudas have to be tznius, obviously, right? It was just a big surprise coming from me, right? Purim students have to be tzanua. This idea of a mixed table, I mean, I hope it's davar pashut obvious that, of course, as a husband and wife, if you know, you have to do this smartly and carefully, and if you have a different scenario, we can talk about it privately. But the point is that the Purim can be a very unfortunate day where you can lose and lower your standards. You may not be aware of it, like I said before. You may not even know. You may live one way that, God forbid, you were never sitting in shmooze with somebody else's wife. You would never talk to them. You would never be acting appropriately. But when you lose yourself, when you're unfortunately out of control, you can be put in a situation where you may lose your sense of coven. Let me explain what that means. That means that schmoozing with somebody else's wife, talking to other people, being in inappropriate places, you have to be very, very careful. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but it means that you have to be careful of yourself. The same way we talk about Nezikin, that the Chiyuv and the whole Chiyuv of Nezikin must be one thing, that you put yourself in the proper scenario beforehand, because it's Pashat Pshia for someone to place themselves. Like, so we talk about the Adam Yashin, right? He puts himself next to a barrel and he goes to sleep. He's Chayiv for kicking it because you place yourself in a situation. Whereas Adam Mu'ud L'Olam. If somebody put it there afterwards, Poseidon, that's one thing. But you actively put yourself in a precarious scenario, you're held accountable. So when it comes to Purim, it's very, very careful. You have to be very careful not to put yourself in precarious situations. That means Shmir Senayim, that means Nibul Peh. It's very scary what type of things that come out on Purim. Nichnas Yayin, Yotza Soid. Chazal tells us very, very famously, Nichnas Yayin, Yotza Soid. When somebody drinks, unfortunately, a part of themselves, the hidden parts of oneself comes out. Now, are we our hidden parts? We're not. Right? We all have parts that, in a sense, we don't show everybody else, but that's not who you are. You're not defined. It's the opposite. People, unfortunately, will look at the other way. So, what do you mean? You're a hypocrite, and the true person comes out. No. You are who you are. What you put yourself out there is who you desire to be and who you want to be. But the internal part of what you are, the parts that you hide behind, that you hide or you keep hidden, that should, chas v'shalom, never come out, and that requires your shemayim, both on the front end and on the back end. And unfortunately, like you said before, wine can bring that out. So a person has to be very, very makbid and be very careful that their sudas should be in a place of tznias, in a place of kedusha, v'tahara, because chas v'shalom, it would destroy the entire purpose. The whole reason as to why Hashem held us accountable was because we didn't do it the proper way. If we can do it the proper way, and it should not be a sudas achashverosh, Mir Hashem Yisbarach will be a tremendous tailus. All the best. Shkoyach.